When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. How do you know you're not overpaying? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a technology company that securely connects with your insurance and reviews your claims for overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey guys, before we start the show, if you're not a RedPilledAmerica.com subscriber, what are you waiting for? We need your support. We don't have the government funding us like NPR. All we have is you. Become an RPA FamBam member by going to RedPilledAmerica.com and clicking join in the top menu.
Support a show devoted to the truth and that shares your values. RedPilledAmerica.com.
Before we start the show, I just want to read a brief statement that we prepared. We denounce anti-Semitism in all its forms, and we stand with our friends
in the Jewish community.
There seems to be an unmistakable conclusion in America. We have an anti-Semitism problem. Wherever you drop the needle on the record of life, the media seems to report a new surge in this form of hate.
Anti-Semitic incidents are on the rise across the U.S.
From a Los Angeles highway to an alleged threat to a New York City synagogue, anti-Semitism is spreading.
Anti-Semitic threats are now at historic levels in this country.
A report by the Anti-Defamation League found that in 2022, anti-Semitic incidents in the United States rose 36%, an all-time high.
With this form of hate persistently spreading throughout America, what can we do to stop the spread of anti-Semitism? I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We're all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You can think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing. The truth. Welcome to Red Pilled America.
How do we stop the spread of anti-Semitism? To find the answer, we're going to tell the story of the epic battle between Candace Owens and the Daily Wire. You may view the feud between this black female conservative and the upstart streaming network as just another petty squabble, but you'd be wrong in that assessment. After taking a deep dive into this conflict, it's hard not to notice the profound cultural moment it uncovers and the potential solution it reveals that could help reverse the spread of anti-Semitism.
Turf wars are commonplace in American industry. That's why they're a recurring theme in Hollywood.
Don Bassini, I want to thank you for helping me organize this meeting here today. Bang. And also the other heads of the five families, New York, New Jersey.
In the 1972 masterpiece film, The Godfather, a turf war breaks out after a rival crime boss tries and fails to knock off the head of the Corleone family, one of the five mafia families controlling organized crime in New York City. When the identities of the would-be assassins are discovered, the son, Michael Corleone, of the targeted mob boss, comes up with a plan.
But if Clemenza can figure a way to have a weapon planted there for me, then I'll kill them both.
Clemenza, a high-ranking member of the Corleone family, explains that once Michael kills the assassins, a turf war will naturally erupt.
You know, you're going to turn out all right. You take a long vacation, nobody knows where, and we're going to catch the hell.
How bad do you think it's going to be?
Pretty goddamn bad. Probably all the other families will line up against us. That's all right. This has got to happen every 5 years or so. 10 years. Helps to get rid of the bad blood. Been 10 years since the last one.
From time to time in real life, like on the big screen, industry feuds that develop behind the scenes bubble up to the surface into full-blown turf wars for everyone to see. And conservative media isn't immune to this natural cycle.
My guest is Andrew Breitbart. Where does this go? I mean, what do you want Glenn Beck to do, or where do you think this goes?
At this point, I don't care what he does because he's dead to me. Bang. He's a snake. Everybody in the business knows that he's a snake. And he won't confront me on this.
David French has had his pictures of his children put over the faces of people in the gas chambers of Auschwitz. I mean, horrible stuff. And I don't blame that on Donald Trump, but I do blame that, quite honestly, on Breitbart and the neo-right from Breitbart.
I can say there are a lot of people inside and outside Breitbart who have been the victims of Steve Bannon's tender mercies when it comes to interpersonal relationships. Steve likes to think of himself as the big bear tearing everybody else down because he's a big power player.
Big tech is in bed with big con. The people you thought, the people I thought, were fighting for you, a lot of it has been a big con.
All right. Our friend Stephen Crowder has launched a new initiative called Stop Big Con. I know a lot of people who are fans of the Daily Wire were really offended by the things that Stephen said in the video, and they're concerned that maybe we're doing the wrong thing. I feel like Crowder really threw us under the bus.
It's a simple fact that turf wars are a relatively common occurrence, typically exposing a rivalry, jealousy, or some type of business conflict. But every once in a while, a feud comes along that stands out from the rest. Its appearance marks a pivotal awakening and exposes a critical flaw in the structure of an institution, a flaw that most either didn't know existed or simply avoided addressing. Bang. The conflict between Candace Owens and the Daily Wire is one of those illuminating family feuds.
If Candace wants to say those things about the Jews, about Hitler, no matter how she dodges and weaves, she has to leave the Daily Wire.
At the beginning of spring 2024, Candace Owens and the Daily Wire ended a roughly 3-year business relationship, and almost immediately after the breakup, the Daily Wire got biblical. In the wake of Candace's departure, political commentator Andrew Klavan gave his take on why the black female conservative powerhouse was forced to leave the network.
She has to leave for one reason above every other. There are lots of reasons, but the one reason she has to leave above every other is because Christ is king. We cannot let him be defamed.
Klavan claimed that Candace's use of the term Christ is king in an exchange with Ben Shapiro crossed the line into hate speech. This was no small accusation. Andrew Klavan is not only one of the founding hosts of the Daily Wire, he's also been positioned as a wise, fatherly conservative figure that possesses a very rare quality. If Christians and Jews were mapped out on a Venn diagram, he'd reside in the small overlap, because Andrew Klavan is an ethnic Jew that famously converted to Christianity, a story that he told on Red Pilled America in 2019. It's this unique quality that made Klavan the perfect vehicle to deliver the reason why the Daily Wire fired Candace. And his explanation appeared designed to end her career in media. Klavan accused Candace of being an anti-Semite.
And no one is fooled except those people who want to pretend to be fooled because they hate the Jews.
He accused her of being blasphemous.
The biggest truth that Candace told in that way, again, and this is not personal animus toward her, but I find difficult to excuse this when anybody does it. The truth that hid wickedness, that I thought was the most wicked truth to use, was the truth that Christ is king.
And Klavan even went as far as to equate Candace's actions with that of Satan.
Christ is the king, and one day every knee will bow and recognize it, because he's not just my king, he's king of the universe. But when you use that phrase to mean that God has abandoned his chosen people, the Jews, through whom he came into this world incarnate, and that he's broken his promises, his covenant with the Jews, you are quoting scripture like Satan does in the Bible. You are quoting scripture to your purposes, and that to me is specifically wicked.
Adding credibility to his attack was Clavin's suggestion that he plucked her from obscurity.
In fact, I felt a small investment in her because, as I have bragged repeatedly of any number of people, I have a weird knack for spotting broadcast talent. I spotted Candace when she was on a small YouTube station doing Blexit stuff. You know, blacks should get out of the Democrat Party stuff. I invited her on my show back when we were in the first office we had in LA, I believe. I had her on my show. She left. I walked down the hall to Jeremy's office. That was back before he had the throne room with the guys with the spears and all that stuff.
Jeremy Boring, the CEO of the Daily Wire.
I walked down the hall and I said, if you want to bring a woman into this operation, I just met her because that's one of the most talented broadcasters I have ever met.
Andrew Clavin took some ownership in the rise of Candace Owens.
Then the juice stuff started.
Then effectively branded her as a bigoted, Hitler-sympathizing, satanic anti-Semite. It was one of the harshest criticisms imaginable of a former colleague. And it wasn't long until others joined the fray.
There is an Overton window at the Daily Wire. Obviously, there was a non-meeting of the minds. That's pretty much all I can say on this.
Jeremy, what did Candace do that she deserved to be fired?
Well, I'm not going to have a conversation about Candace. When you run a business, you're not at liberty to have discussions about people that you fire.
Candace and I were very good friends for a long time. In large part, I kind of discovered her when she was known as Red Pill Black on YouTube. I don't really consider us friends anymore.
Christ is King. That's where you went over the line, girl.
The Daily Wire CEO, Jeremy Boring, and the Babylon Bee CEO, Seth Dillon, suggested Candace's use of the phrase, Christ is King, was morally wrong, even anti-Semitic. And political activist Christopher Rufo went as far as to claim that Candace was traveling down an ugly path. It was a shocking turn of events, because Candace Owens was a darling of the conservative movement. Practically every major right-leaning media outlet in America had latched onto Candace during her meteoric rise. Fox News, Turning Point USA, PragerU, The Daily Wire, Breitbart News, Dave Rubin, and even the David Horowitz Freedom Center. All of these organizations, at one point or another, closely connected their brands with her rising star. We even launched Red Pilled America with an episode that featured Candace. But now, some of the same players that capitalized on her growing celebrity were trying to end her career. What happened? Why did the Daily Wire and many of their high-profile allies turn on Candace Owens? And what does this conflict reveal? To understand what a truly pivotal moment this was in American media, and how solutions can be extracted from this conflict that could help stop the spread of anti-Semitism, we have to first take a deep dive into the paths that brought Candace Owens and the Daily Wire together and ultimately resulted in a public family feud. Red Pilled America has been preparing to tell this story for years. But be warned, this is not a story for those that subscribe to a victim ideology.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, right? Well, not so fast. What about your out-of-pocket costs? That can be a lot of money for you and your family. And if you're like me, you can't help but wonder, was I overbilled? You're not alone. It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? It's a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. HealthLock finds medical bill errors before you pay. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time
with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The spring is here, and it's time to treat yourself to the Licorice Guy. You guys should know by now that I love licorice, and it doesn't get any better than the gourmet licorice made by the Licorice Guy. They have a great selection of flavors to choose from, like red, blue raspberry, black, green apple, just to name a few. The freshness of the licorice is unlike anything you've ever tasted in licorice before. Seriously, if you haven't tried licorice from the Licorice Guy, then you ain't living life right. It's time to dump that store-bought licorice that's hard enough to break your teeth and get yourself the soft, fresh stuff from the Licorice Guy. What I also love about the Licorice Guy is that it's an American family-owned business. It's made right here in the beautiful U.S. of A. We are big proponents of buying American and supporting American workers. Right now, Red Pilled America listeners get 15% off when you enter RPA15 at checkout. Visit licoriceguy.com and enter RPA15 at checkout. That's licoriceguy.com. They ship daily. Treat yourself and those you love and taste the difference. Welcome back to Red Pilled America. Candace Owens' journey to her pivotal face-off with The Daily Wire was a long time in the making.
So I was born in White Plains, New York, but I was raised in Stamford, Connecticut my entire life.
We interviewed Candace Owens way back in December 2017, when she was known as Red Pill Black.
I grew up sharing a bedroom with my two sisters. We lived in a tiny little apartment in the hood in Stamford, and we had like the exterminator coming, we had roaches and that sort of a thing. When I was 9 years old, my grandfather and my grandmother moved us out of that apartment because of the conditions of it and into their home. So all eight of us lived in their middle class house. And I think that that for me was probably my first introduction to what today would be considered conservative values. My grandparents are super religious. My grandfather would get up at the crack of dawn and make us like a huge Southern breakfast every single morning. He is probably one of the biggest influences in my life. Grandfather grew up on a sharecropping farm.
Sharecropping was a common farming system in the post-Civil War South. It was basically a system where a landlord allows a tenant, often a former slave or poor farmer, to use a piece of their land in return for a share of the crops produced on that land.
His first job was laying out tobacco to dry in an attic in Fayetteville, North Carolina, when he was five, and he has never not had a job.
Candace was expected to work from a young age as well.
He was very strict, no elbows on the table when we ate. I don't even really understand the significance of that, but that was a rule. And we would read prayers every morning. If we didn't say good morning, he wouldn't put a plate in front of us, despite the fact that I was 10 years old. It doesn't matter how groggy you were. He taught us that you say good morning, you sit down, you read a prayer, and then you're off to school.
But even with the strict influence of her grandparents, Candace's household was a bit tumultuous.
I want to say around the age of 13, my grandparents moved out of the house into the back of the house, so they weren't involved in every single day of our lives. It was like a separate apartment thing that they had built for themselves. And my parents weren't the greatest examples of parents without diving too deep into that. But, you know, I had a pretty rough upbringing and I was a rough person. I was always a pretty bright student, but I was definitely considered a troublemaker. I was constantly pushing back against institutions, pushing back against my parents. I was just, you know, always in trouble. I was suspended. I was getting into fights, that sort of a thing.
But fights aside, Candace says she was a star student. In middle school, she tested well.
Well, I was always put in predominantly white classes because I tested very well. So I was always the only or one of two black people in all of my classes. So for me, I was dealing with, you know, bullying by black people when I was in middle school, saying that I was acting white because I had white friends. Who am I going to make friends with? These are people that are in my classes, you know.
Candace was excelling in her studies. But by her senior year in high school, she got a crash course in racism, as well as the media narrative machine.
My senior year of high school, I received some phone calls one night from some anonymous voices on the other line, and the phone calls were extremely violent. We're going to tar and feather that we're going to hang you from a tree. We're going to put a bullet in the back of your head like we did to Martin Luther King. Just really volatile, extremely racist voicemails. And it came from a blocked number. And the worst thing that can happen to you at that age, you're not even a person yet, is to receive these phone calls threatening your life.
It was the first time she'd personally fielded racial slurs.
It was a terrifying moment. I remember just like crying. And I was so confused because there were like four male voices on the phone.
Initially, Candace says she didn't do anything with the messages.
I went to school the next day, and in a philosophy class that I was taking, I mentioned it in something in context of whatever we were reading that day. And my teacher literally was like, get up right now. We're going to the principal's office. You're going to report this. So he literally takes me out of my chair, makes me go to the principal's office and play the voicemails. And she's horrified, and she makes a decision to call the police.
Candace would eventually learn that one of the kids on the call was the son of the then Democrat mayor of Stamford, Daniel Malloy. Malloy would later become the governor of Connecticut. The political connection made the story go nuclear.
So I woke up the next day and my entire life had changed. I was on the front page of every newspaper throughout the state of Connecticut. FBI got involved because it was a politician, and it just turned into a complete nightmare. I ended up dropping out of school for 6 weeks while the investigation was going on because I was dealing with a lot of he said, she said teachers getting involved on, oh, she's probably making it up. Obviously, I wasn't making it up, but what particularly stood out for me in that moment is how politicized it was and how nobody cared that these were essentially children that had made a mistake but didn't deserve to have their lives ruined because of it. And on top of that, the NAACP would show up at my school every day because they wanted to like walk me in and be seen with me. It was a photo op for them. They never spoke to me on the phone. They never asked me how I was doing. So that forever destroyed my relationship and my ideas about what the NAACP was.
The ordeal would eventually blow over, and Candace made her way to the University of Rhode Island to study journalism. She attended URI for 3 years, but in the wake of the 2008 banking crisis, Candace ran into a bit of a financial crisis herself.
And my loan in the last year, obviously I don't come from any money, so it was get loans to go to school or don't go to school. My loan, it didn't go through, and I then had to figure out how I had $100,000 in debt and not a diploma to show for it, and I had to figure out how I was going to make it.
So after her junior year, she dropped out of URI.
So I hit the ground running in New York City and decided the best job for me to take was a job in finance. I started out as an assistant, went to an executive assistant, worked my way up to the VP of the administration, and that was just hard work and a little bit of street smarts. Once I had paid back pretty much all of my student loans, I decided that I wanted to dive into a passion project. I decided I was going to create Social Autopsy, which was going to help kids.
Drawing from her traumatic high school experience, she thought she could make a system that could help kids navigate the technology that had been thrust on her generation. From the late 1990s on, teenagers had become human guinea pigs in the first iteration of a hyper-connected world. Kids found themselves interacting with a digital landscape, and online harassment was a natural byproduct.
Last year, 13-year-old Megan Meyer hanged herself after getting emails from a boy she thought had jilted her. But those emails turned out to be fake. But this tragedy did turn a spotlight on a dark corner of teen life, cyberbullying, using the internet or cell phones to threaten, spread rumors, or post doctored photographs.
A 15-year-old girl has been arrested for sending hundreds of threatening text messages to some classmates.
In one of those messages, she wrote, quote, "Nobody likes you. I hate you so much, and I hope to cut you."
According to recent studies, this kind of bullying is on the rise. By one count, as many as 1 in 3 kids is being victimized.
Having went through a form of technology harassment herself, Candace thought she could design a system to teach kids that there were consequences to digital bullying, a valuable lesson that could be imparted to teenagers before they entered the adult world. So she came up with the idea of Social Autopsy, a system that could be used by educators to track online harassers so that they could be properly reprimanded without ruining their lives.
And I thought, if kids are not having to navigate technology, which is a new thing, what if we created a program that like would capture like these awful things that they were saying, and rather than these people receiving punishments that are going to effectively ruin their lives, we create a system of like points of like a teacher is now search this database to see if kids are in it. And if you're in this database and you did this, like you can't try out for the football team, which is a much better solution in my mind. And I will admit I was totally naive about the internet.
To raise funding from the public for the project, she started a Kickstarter campaign.
The human race has never been more connected. It takes a nanosecond, a mere push of a button, to share our ideas, opinions, and emotions across the world instantly. But for every cat meme your best friend tweets at you, or for every I miss you comment your grandma leaves on your Facebook wall, there are literally thousands of instances of hate speech being circulated online.
We hadn't built anything. We had just created like a dry website test site that people could go in and put their emails.
Candace says that within less than 24 hours from launching the Kickstarter campaign, a woman reached out to her. And by the end of their interaction, Candace would receive the biggest red pill of her young life. When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, right? Well, not so fast. What about your out-of-pocket costs? That can be a lot of money for you and your family. And if you're like me, you can't help but wonder, was I overbilled? You're not alone. It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? It's a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. HealthLock finds medical bill errors before you pay. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you ever wanted to hear yourself on Red Pilled America, here's your chance. We're wondering, what's your favorite episode? Email us a short voice memo with your favorite story, along with why, and you may hear yourself on the show. Email your voice memo to info@redpilledamerica.com. That's info@redpilledamerica.com. Can't wait to hear from you, like this one from Sean.
This is Sean Morgan talking to you from Indianapolis. My favorite Red Pilled America story was the 10-part series on President Nixon entitled The Fighter. We all generally think we know the story of Nixon's downfall due to the Watergate scandal, that he was a crook and was taken down by honest investigative reporting. But your amazingly in-depth series painted a much different picture of this incredible man from humble beginnings and his targeting by a media slash Hollywood slash, you know, political machine bent on his destruction. The nuanced details woven together into a compelling story really impacted me and what I thought I knew about history. It also was an eye-opener that in many ways is a harbinger of similar events against a more recent president that had the audacity to go toe-to-toe with this same media slash Hollywood slash political complex today. Thanks for all the work you guys do on stories like this. Keep it up.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So in 2016, Candace Owens launched an anti-harassment project called Social Autopsy to help kids navigate the new online world they were experiencing. Candace says that within less than 24 hours from launching the campaign, a woman named Zoe Quinn reached out to her.
And she says, like, you know, I am ground zero for harassment on the internet. I'd like to take a call with you.
If that name isn't familiar, Zoe Quinn was a controversial feminist activist and video game developer, and was at the time working with Twitter's anti-harassment arm. With tattoos on her fair skin and hair color that seemed to change hourly, Quinn gained prominence a few years earlier after she was allegedly harassed by anonymous online gamers in a controversy that came to be known as Gamergate. Gamergate was basically a culture war between the video game community and woke feminists that had infiltrated the industry. Gamers believed video game journalists were corruptly propping up feminist developers like Quinn. She, on the other hand, claimed that she was being harassed, largely because she was a woman in a male-dominated industry. The mainstream media, of course, picked her side and elevated Quinn to a feminist icon. But some gamers thought that she was actually harassing herself for attention. At the time in 2016, Candace had paid very little attention to politics. So when Zoe Quinn reached out, Candace wasn't aware of the culture war she was stepping into.
And I Google her, and it's very favorable stuff. It says that she's been abused on the internet, and that now she's dedicated her life to trying to stomp out abuse. So I'm thinking in my head, like, why wouldn't I have a conversation with this girl? Like, there's, you know, a way that we can connect, and I'm going to help her understand what I'm doing, and she'll be able to see what I'm doing. So she calls me up, I give her my number, and the conversation just took an instantly dark turn. She wasn't calling to talk to me about my project. She was calling me to threaten me to end the project or else. And then she kept saying that she just knew that these anonymous gamers were going to come after me on the internet. They were these men that were misogynists and sexist. And they were going to come after me with racism and all this stuff. And so then she moved on and she kept saying that she knew that they were going to dox my family if I did it.
Dox meaning they'd find her home phone number and address and publish it online. Candace said that she understood Quinn's concerns, but she wasn't going to kill the project.
At this point, she just starts crying. And she says, and I'll never forget this, she says, "You're going to ruin everything." And I went, "What?" And she hung up the phone.
Within 2 hours of their call, Candace says she was harassed in exactly the manner that Quinn had warned.
She really must be a true savant. She was able to foresee everything that actually happened. We were in not a single threat had we received, and we had been Kickstarter for 16 hours. By hour 18, we were being inundated to the point that we couldn't even log onto our accounts. It was just massively people calling me and saying they were going to die, they were going to kill my family.
It was Candace's belief that Quinn was actually orchestrating the online harassment against her to torpedo her fundraising campaign.
It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And she was doing this trying to convince me that the gamers were the ones that did this. Like, how stupid did this woman think I was?
The entire interaction rocked Candace. I mean, Zoe Quinn was a liberal woman, just like her, and a darling of the mainstream media. Quinn claimed to have been harassed by anonymous online trolls. She was a woman that was so prominent that she was working with Twitter's anti-harassment arm. Quinn thought Candace was developing a system that would reveal the real names of anonymous online harassers.
She was under the assumption, which was totally wrong, that if I had launched this project, I was going to be able to unmask trolls.
Given her alleged harassment by anonymous web users, you'd think Quinn would have welcomed this technological development. But she didn't. Instead, Quinn apparently wanted to suffocate Candace's project in the crib. That was strange to Candace, given Quinn's position.
She's working for the anti-harassment arm on Twitter. Let's say that during in the heat of the election, which is when this was in 2016, I had built a technology that was going to be able to unmask trolls. What would I have uncovered and what exactly would I have ruined? How many of Hillary Clinton's Twitter followers were real? How many people that are on Twitter saying die, that says I'm a Trump supporter are actually Trump supporters and not just some girl sitting in their basement working for Hillary Clinton? Okay, these are sort of the existential questions that I started asking myself immediately.
Candace's instincts told her that Quinn was not who she was claiming to be.
It was like a jarring, scary thing. And I instantly tweeted, just like, that girl Zoe Quinn, I don't know what the Gamergate scandal is. I had no idea what Gamergate was, but she is definitively harassing herself. And that opened the floodgates. That opened the absolute floodgates.
Shortly after her tweet, Candace says the liberal Washington Post attempted to smear her, and the left-wing New York Magazine published what could be interpreted as a hit piece. Candace at the time thought she was a Democrat, but the event flipped a switch in her. This was her red-pilled moment.
And people always say, like, how can you say you were red-pilled instantly? I was red-pilled instantly. It opened my eyes to the fact that the people that are claiming to fight racism, okay, the people that are claiming to want to give platforms to Black people, I at that moment was a Black female entrepreneur being stomped out by New York Magazine, okay, the Washington Post. All these people that should be my allies, be trying to help me, are viciously trying to take me down because what? Because they thought that I had built something that was going to unveil a dirty little secret. And that dirty little secret is that they were, in fact, perpetuating victim narratives. They were, in fact, perpetuating racism. They were, in fact, perpetuating sexism in the comfort of their troll accounts on Twitter. And I'm sure that that far exceeds Twitter.
Through the innocent launch of a fundraising campaign, Candace had been pushed down the rabbit hole. The reaction from Zoe Quinn, the trolls, and the liberal media had her rethinking everything.
I essentially realized that for a very long time, my mind had been hacked, that people that I thought were my friends were in fact my enemies, and people that I thought, just in the background, without paying attention to politics, I assumed they were far-right white nationalists, are just trying to tell the truth.
It made her rethink her education as well, eventually coming to the conclusion that Black people are indoctrinated starting from a very young age.
They're learning that they have an allegiance to the Democratic Party. We've learned it since we were in middle school. We are constantly told over and over again with repetition, the correct answer to the test is always Black people made progress because the Democrats saved them. Black people went backwards because Republicans did this or that. It's a massive misinformation campaign. It's a massive miseducation.
As the mainstream media was attacking Candace for questioning Zoe Quinn's story, a budding journalist and filmmaker reached out to her.
Mike Cernovich invited me to film his documentary, Silence.
She did a web search on the filmmaker, and Google returned some of the vilest descriptions of Mike Cernovich. She decided to meet with him anyways.
And at this point, I'm still holding on to my liberalism. I say to him, like, this is what I want to do. And he said, I disagree with, you know, what you're doing.
Candace says Cernovich thought her social autopsy site had some serious issues regarding online privacy.
Because he understood the implications of what something like social autopsy could do.
Candace would come to agree with him.
But he said, what happened to you was wrong. And I want to give you a voice to talk about how the media tried to stomp you out. And afterwards, he had a gathering, a book signing for some of his fans. And I just attended, and there was just so much authenticity in the room. And I realized, if this is what is being told about me on Google, about this person that I'm having a real conversation with, I need to reevaluate every single thing Google tells me.
Around the same time she met Mike Cernovich, another man was making waves on the national stage.
Can you give us a question?
Don't be.
Can you
no,
give
I'm not
us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Sir, go ahead.
At the same time that this is going on, Donald Trump is on a platform calling CNN fake news. It was just divine intervention, honestly, at every angle. It just went click, 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 instantly red-pilled, and then suffered from extreme cognitive dissonance. Because once you get punched in the face like that, like I say to everyone, take the red pill, but take it slowly, up the dosage. I was figuratively kicked in the chest, Spartan style, down a deep hole, okay? Like, not fun for anybody.
The entire ordeal had Candace's head spinning. She took about a year off to contemplate her entire life. I mean, think about what this young woman had been through. In high school, a chance racist prank phone call put her at odds with a major politician, landed her on the front page of the newspapers, and opened her eyes to the scam of the NAACP, a group she'd been told for years existed to help Black people. Within 24 hours of launching her first entrepreneurial project, she was thrust into the spotlight when she inadvertently stepped into a culture war known as Gamergate. Again, she attracted journalists, this time in the national media. Both experiences opened her eyes to the unwritten rules of a game she had no idea was being played all around her. But now she could see it, or at least part of it. Candace was exhausted from the eye-opening experiences, but by the time July 2017 came around, she decided to make a move.
I said to someone, I said, I have to go into this. Like, once you know this, okay, this happened to me for a reason. Just like what happened to me in high school happened to me for a reason, okay? Everything that happened to me brought me to this moment. There is a message that I was chosen to deliver to the Black community. I feel that from the bottom of my soul, that I was picked to do this. That these things, these huge, crazy things, trying to do a good thing gone wrong, a random car ride with strangers I've never met, turning into front page news, these don't happen to somebody by chance. They happen to someone because it was preparing me for a bigger moment, a moment of harsh criticism, being lied about.
She believed she was chosen for a mission, but by who or what, she wasn't quite ready to say. When we closed our conversation with Candace Owens in December 2017, we couldn't help but ask.
Thank you guys
Thank you so much for your time.
One last question. Are you religious?
I am not, but I'm starting to become a lot more spiritual. It's become a natural journey back to the way that I was raised with my grandfather, which I definitely want to talk about more, but it's kind of still happening.
Gotcha.
She sensed that there was something out there guiding her journey. And with that building connection to the source of everything, she was ready to take on the world.
I'm on a war path right now to help the Black community understand that we have been lied to, we have been used, we have been manipulated, and that's all by the Democratic Party.
So, like so many default liberals before her, she geared up for a public coming out. She set up a camera, pressed record, and by the time she was done, the entire conservative media complex would be clamoring for a piece of Candace Owens, because she was about to shift the culture in ways no one could have ever imagined.
Coming up on Red Pilled America.
I think I might be a conservative.
Candace, I know about your story, but this is riveting. I want to beg you to come on the full show sometime with Paul and I and share these stories.
You know, I was just at the Daily Wire earlier today, and their studio, their office space is growing.
Because people are famous, we then grant them a certain level of credibility on other issues. So the latest example of this is Kanye West.
He's a genius. Kanye West is a genius.
And Candace has facts. She's researched.
Well, speaking of on fire, obviously, Candace, you've just exploded onto the scene. Yeah. I think probably a year and a half ago, nobody knew who you were. And now everybody knows who you are.
When you think about whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, in at least in America, is Hitler.
A friend of mine who I am not going to name encouraged me to visit the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Me, a woman joining the Daily Wire team?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah, on second thought. No, you're right.
The Man's Club?
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's owned and produced by Patrick Harelci and me, Adriana Cortez, for Informed Ventures. Now you can get ad-free access to our entire catalog of episodes by becoming a Backstage subscriber. To subscribe, just visit redpilledamerica.com and click Join in the top menu. Thanks for listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.